Don't Be All Like Uncool, a way to deep dive into the shallowest people on the planet. I'm Elizabeth, and
you can't stand Teresa anymore? It's time we put in Delore.
And that is because, wasn't that the most Alex tagline I've ever had, by the way?
Well, he's never called Dolores Delore, but yeah.
But hey, it's a forced rhyme, which I love.
So we got the promo for Jersey this week. Dolores is in the middle with Teresa on far right and Melissa on far left, or the other way around.
Hell yeah.
So
yeah, Delore is Switzerland.
I know. So it will be very interesting. Well,
she looks great in the middle, by the way. She was meant to be the middle.
If that show, if it really leaned into Dolores being the main character, think of how great that show would be. She has such main character energy.
She has two hilarious men fighting for her, both like with giant forehead veins. This could be it. This could be our big season for Jersey.
And even her kids are really good Bravo kids.
They are.
Like, I love the veterinarian and the son.
Yeah, they feel like a great sitcom family.
They do. Well, I am joined by my lovely friend and co-host, Mr. Alex Morand.
Call me Diana Jenkins, because this show is better without me in it. And I'm saying that after having listened to your podcast last week without me on it.
No! It
was great.
Oh, no.
And I was like, they're covering so much. This is so informative. When I'm on, I just laugh and I don't add much. I'm doing it now.
Alex, I hope you know Julia and I've had the conversation before where I'm like, have you ever had the thought, like, when I'm not on the podcast and I listen to it, I'm like, oh, this is so much better without me. So we all feel that way. Don't worry.
When I was on my break, I was like, these are such good episodes. They don't even need me. I might as well just, like, jump off the cliff.
Hey, call us all Diana Jenkins.
You know what? We might be a word podcast to have us all three, but we're doing it together. Well, we are finally all three back together because we are also joined by my lovely sister, Miss Julia Baker.
Money can't buy you a sophisticated party.
The Valley, I can't believe we talk so much shit about it.
Oh, on the lead up to it?
Yes, because it is my favorite.
I thought it was going to be the worst. Do we do Vanderpump Villas?
No.
Okay. No. Okay, we draw the line somewhere.
I could try.
We've talked about it, but Julia, you were like, we're not doing this one.
No.
Which was shocking to us.
I know.
Well, because I just assumed Elizabeth was going to nix it, so I thought I beat her to the punch.
I've been bossing Julia around ever since I came out of the womb, and she finally got one over on me.
And then I was wrong.
Well. All right, we have so much to talk about. Another week of our youngins. Do we want to start with Martha's Vineyard?
Yes.
All right, I am loving the new girl, Noelle. She is giving us facial expressions left, right, and center. She's just cracking me up. I think she's a really good addition to a pretty intense cast.
She's the only funny one. We don't have much comedic relief anywhere on this show. Preston's hilarious. So yeah. We've got two funny people.
It's such a harsh juxtaposition for me. I also like her, but she, like, compared to everyone else, she does feel like a cartoon. It's like,
she feels Real Housewives.
When, like, a Star Trek show brings, like, an alien in to be, like, funny. That's how she feels to me, which I love. And I'm so interested in how she's going to start partaking in the drama. My guess is with Summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big explosive thing.
Okay, I'm not getting Mean Girl vibes.
Friend vibes from them?
No, like, oh yeah. But like, I'm not getting Mean Girl vibes from Summer. I feel like that's kind of getting forced. I don't know. Do you guys feel like Mean Girl vibes from Summer?
Maybe if she was talking about anyone other than the person she was being a mean girl to.
Okay.
But I feel like everyone's kind of against her, right?
Shanice?
Yeah, Shanice.
I'm so sorry. Can I just say something? Shanice, you can't be crying about the fact that you got worse dressed as you're wearing a bathing suit with a zipper that goes down to your labia majora.
That's a Kimmy K swimsuit, so you shut your mouth.
Oh, excuse me. Well, there, look what I know.
Well, to that point, I thought it was initially a joke about how she's like,
well, that's the other thing. Like, she might not be the worst dressed, but she's the least dressed at all times. She is always having her boobs out. We've seen her flash, like, probably every episode.
She was the worst dressed because she showed up to the decade party without an associated decade. She just wore her leggings.
It's a classic Bravo thing where I think that is like what they were talking about.
Right.
And then it blew up into like a more general thing and then no one clarified it. And they just let it be a more general thing.
And Shanice felt, you know, clearly is dealing with being fired. That's super traumatic. She was having a really hard time with that. And mm-hmm. they all were drinking. Classic Bravo. But yeah, no one clarified it. And now Summer's being labeled as a mean girl, which I don't think she is. And Shanice and she are going to have huge drama the rest of the season for no real reason.
I did really mm-hmm. like that Noelle didn't hear Summer say, Alex was inside of me, because she was so busy getting the crab legs inside of her.
It is funny how that one reaction shot of her with those legs ended up being like a plot point.
It was so it was like Phaedra on The Traitors.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, Alex, you don't really watch The Traitors, but like Phaedra, anytime something traitory was happening, she'd be like, oh my gosh, look at this food with this like huge reaction. And I would say, like Noelle's trying to copy Phaedra, except for they couldn't have like aired. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't line up.
It feels authentic.
It was great.
So Noelle just gives Phaedra vibes, which mm-hmm. is like the hugest compliment anyone could ever receive.
Also, Phaedra, so hot right now.
Yes. I have one note for Summer's House Martha's Vineyard for next season, because we're sure not getting it this season. And I need more single men to go along with these single ladies. It's really interesting. Summer House OG also has a really heavy female cast and only a few men. Mm-hmm. And that must just be because if they put too many men in the mix, it doesn't work. It might become too Jersey Shore-y.
Or at least, here's my thought, and this might be controversial. Mm-hmm. Have a guy that maybe is taken, but like there's a possibility that they will still like hook up with someone in the house, because like Nick gives too much of the ick.
Yes.
To really be a possibility for anyone to be like, we're gonna hook up with Nick.
Poor Nick. Nick is desperately trying to cheat on this girlfriend.
Even when he was pretending to be single last year, he still didn't get any.
And I just don't see Amir trying.
Amir is terrified of his girlfriend.
I gotta meet this girlfriend.
I know.
She better show up with like ball removal scissors.
Yes.
Just like in ball pants.
But if like Alex had a girlfriend, I feel like there's still like that weird possibility of like, and I think that's great drama for like one of these mm-hmm. shows.
When Alex said that Summer gave him mean girl vibes, did he mean she was being mean to him?
I think he's so ready, because like, look, when he was trying to get with Shanice and then he found out that Shanice had her stalking charge, mm-hmm. then he like tried to turn everybody against her. I think that that's how he gets out of being a fuckboy, is he's like, well, I would have dated you seriously, but you took that picture of me. But so.
Yeah, he's very quick to be like, but she's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's sort of mm-hmm. his thing. No one's as cool as him.
He's such a slime ball.
Yeah.
He and Nick are slimy. Like, I love Amir and Preston. I think they have really good energy. We totally lost a guy, and I didn't remember it until I was looking at old cast photos. The flight attendant guy.
Oh my God. I completely forgot about him, too.
Zero memory. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy, too, because everyone loved him.
And he was single.
Who's the one that we voted off the island, though? Wasn't there a guy who showed up?
Oh, well, that's the guy I liked. That was the guy that shit in the toilet.
Yes.
Jasmine in the promo is trying to bring Phil back.
Bring him back. We need another man. Bring
Phil's
him
scary.
Back.
I don't like Phil. All right. Are we ready for Summer House OG?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Julia, I know you are going to have a hot take on the flower boy situation.
How dare Carl and Lindsay
mm-hmm.
do this? And Carl, right now, because I watched the after show, is putting a lot of it on Lindsay.
Yeah.
But I have to say, Carl was delighted seeing Kyle's reaction to the flower boy proposal. Like, Carl's really loving knocking Kyle down a peg, and that is just super sad.
I think Lindsay would have been fine with him as a groomsman.
You do? Like, if Carl really stood up to it? That is a hot take, Alex. My guess is that Carl didn't want Kyle in the wedding at all, because he feels unsupported by Kyle. And he probably is intimidated a little bit by Kyle's success, because when Carl's not involved in Loverboy, Carl is having a career crisis and Loverboy is Kyle. So that would be hard.
Kyle did stomp around last year calling Lindsay a psycho bitch, which we got a really rough flashback of. And then also saying, I supported you when you were on cocaine, calling him Cocaine Carl, basically. So, yeah. I mean, I was very much like, fuck Carl, fuck Lindsay. And then we got those flashbacks of like, ooh, well.
I just think Lindsay's much more forgiving.
To shenanigans like that?
Yeah.
And so that's probably how this flower boy became a thing. She's probably like, you have to have Kyle in the wedding. Bring on a couple other Bravo celebrities.
You think it's the other way around?
It might, yeah. I think it's that the makes other sense way around.
Because so much of Carl's being like, well, I'm not doing this thing because Lindsay wouldn't allow it, is something that he hasn't brought up to Lindsay. It's kind of like him covering himself. That's been the thing he's been using.
Yeah, she hasn't articulated that at all.
So he's like, I just don't want to deal with that. That's sort of been his thing.
We've been playing our whose side are we on? And as time goes on, I'm feeling worse and worse for Lindsay, because he really does throw her under the bus. And it's easy because she's a bus that's absolutely screaming and yelling about, you know, everything that's happening in lifts. But on the Watch What Happens Live this week, Amanda was on with another guest and they were asked about something and Amanda like didn't want to say their answer. And the other guest was basically like, I feel like Carl is blaming things on Lindsay as being like the hysterical woman. But I think that he has something in him that he's quiet and passive aggressive and winds her up and then gets to go, look how nuts she is. And Amanda just like aggressively nodded her head. And also remember, Paige was very pro Lindsay when this went down. Mm-hmm. Like, when has Paige ever been pro Lindsay?
And I trust Paige's opinion.
I do too. Yeah. Especially because Paige is like pretty anti Lindsay 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like we're yet to see the thing that will make us like fully, fully Team Lindsay.
I'm Team Lindsay this week for sure.
I think it's going to happen though, where it's going to be like, there's going to be a point where the guys will have hyped Carl up so much to a point
that he's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Jesse Solomon rubbing his little hands together.
Jesse Solomon is really, yeah, trying to instigate shit.
Jesse Solomon's gross. Show me a tit.
I love him.
Ew.
I love him. Ew. He's such a good addition.
Oh, no. Great addition. Bad person.
Well, that's Julia. It's like what? Yeah, it's like what you're talking about. That's the type of person we need on like Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a Jesse Solomon. We need a man who can put 8 shots of tequila in his rib cage and can go and stir shit up.
No, who we don't have is Gabby. Where is Gabby?
Gabby's gone this week, but and I feel like it wasn't addressed. Aww.
Remember she wasn't?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, hang on. Well, we're only on Friday. Maybe she'll come Saturday.
Hopefully.
I know.
She's not at Paige's Prada dinner?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
I really hope she comes Saturday because I really like Gabby and I think Lindsay needs somebody in her corner. I really like that Paige and Amanda are kind of reaching out to Lindsay.
Yeah, it might be good that Gabby's not there right now to give them.
That's a good point, Alex.
But that conversation may have gone down better if Gabby were there.
Oh, you think Gabby would have yes-anded?
No, I think that she would have facilitated it better because, like, Amanda and Paige were pretty harsh and Lindsay handled it. But I feel like it would have gone better if Gabby was there.
I think, by the way, bringing it back to Flower Boy, I think that was bullshit. And if I were Kyle, I'd rather not be in the wedding.
Well, luckily, the wedding didn't happen.
That's a good point, Julia. Yeah. I guess he wasn't in the wedding.
It didn't matter. But he said in the after show, he would have been the best Flower Boy.
Kyle's a good sport could ever be. For that.
I liked his attitude about it.
Yeah.
Then cut to him and Andrea and him being like, I fucking hate that I am the flower boy.
Even Andrea was like, what the fuck is this? It's kind of insulting.
And he's not just the flower boy. There's three of them.
I know. What the fuck?
Also, like, call them flower men.
So Sierra and West still aren't sleeping together. Yes.
Now, let's take a reading of the room. I got some Schwartzy vibes from him this episode in his talking head.
I'm not.
No, sleeping. He's doing that thing of like, I was hoping Justice Solomon would actually keep talking about it so like we could get to the case of why she's not sleeping with me. That is very Schwartzy. It's just it's a little taste, but...
But he's not, Alex, he's not talking shit about Sierra. Maybe that's what I'm waiting for, to get full Schwartz.
I kind of interpreted it a little...
way that Justice Solomon outed him made me think there might be a little shit talking happening. The problem is you've decided that West is like your husband, Pat.
Who is not like Schwartz.
And Alex has decided West is like Schwartz. So
no, I've said that he has... I'm afraid of him becoming like Schwartz.
Okay. Well, they don't like each other's stuff on Instagram because I did a little sleuthing. So we'll have to see.
Sierra and West.
Sierra and West don't like each other's posts. So this could just be they're playing it real cool and are going to surprise us at the finale. No. Or they're just not seeing each other.
No.
Okay. Uh-oh.
And I've also been listening to a lot of Giggly Squad lately, and Paige hasn't mentioned West, but she mentions Sierra all the time.
Fuck. Mm. And West does live in the city.
Mm. I've been doing a lot of homework.
Well, somebody online did the homework for us. Amanda's investment property for Amanda to move out to Jersey.
Oh, God.
Did you guys see that property and think, that doesn't look like Jersey? Because it wasn't.
I don't really know what Jersey looks like.
It was
the Hamptons.
It was an Airbnb in the Hamptons.
Oh, it was just to give him a shot.
Yeah.
The facade has been lifted.
No, but I thought, like, I was like, this is only 1.4 mil? I thought that was like... Shit.
Yeah, it looked great.
It looked way more expensive than 1.4.
Well, the little Airbnb was like $26,000 a weekend or something like that. So I think that number was just made up and it wasn't even in Jersey. So
that makes so much sense because that was the most uninteresting version of one of those scenes I think I've seen in a promo.
Yeah, we did see inside, probably because we weren't allowed inside.
There's no real conflict about it. It was just kind of like in and out. We got to get this shot.
There's a family with their pool noodles inside, like, honey, call 911. There's white people dressed in all white walking around our house with a clipboard.
Yeah, it did feel like they were stealing a shot. Like they didn't have permission to shoot there.
Well, are we ready for Vanderpump Rules?
Yes.
All right. Alex, you have a hot take on Anne this week that you texted our group chat.
Yes. Well, I just don't really trust her. She maintains sort of the same attitude level in every situation. And knowing that she is a UCB trained like comedian, I also don't trust her because of that. Because
she's in a cult.
Yeah. Just, she knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. She's not like a normal person by like Bravo standards. She's a Bravo person. And that's why I don't trust her. I don't think that we should all have sympathy for Anne. Is what I'm saying.
If I interviewed right in front of my current boss for another position and they asked me to leave for the day, I would be unsurprised.
Yeah.
That wasn't a great move and also a bizarre move because Ariane had no intention of hiring her.
It's delusional to think that that would happen.
It seemed very produced, which I wasn't a fan of, but I did like what didn't seem produced. Is Anne reaching out to Katie to try to be Katie's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way it happened? I assumed that it was like Ariana felt bad and was like...
Well, that's the way I liked thinking of it because I get like if the producers are setting up this little thing, but then Ariana's like, ugh, I really don't want Anne. And then Anne is out of a job. So we could all watch this fun little tidbit on our screens. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, shit, well, I guess I'll just like hit up every other Bravo person I have in my web. Anyway, right. I liked that.
But while I think Anne is shady, of course, the way Sandoval handled the firing was horrible.
He's lurking.
He fired her like he broke up with Ariana. He just started hiring another assistant and never addressed the issue. So, and is like, no, we're totally still together.
So according to Anne on her podcast, the crying happened. She went home. The next day, he texted her saying, you don't have to come in. Take some time. And then that was it. They still haven't spoken. So he never fired her. I don't know if that was his HR department's plan to not pay unemployment.
That's one of the all-time funniest things he's ever said. So yes, the HR department.
And I love, like, it came out of his mouth And then instead of like trying to explain himself, like he's like, well, obviously I'm joking around. Like he doubled down to the point where he was like, wait, uh-oh. You could see him being like, am I going to have to like pretend?
I mean, also, he might have an HR department. He does have a whole band hired.
Oh, he's like true. A
15-person setup.
That is true. And he is a person that likes to like, all his parties he's had are like people that he employs.
And doesn't pay.
Yeah, so maybe it's like he has a couple guys that go to his parties and they're like, that's my HR department. Like, I have to have them on some sort of payroll.
Oh my gosh, should I apply? Should I send him a cold resume to be his HR person?
That'd be great. Experience. I've seen all your shows.
And then he'd have to take you.
Tom says that Ariana took away all of his friends and now she's trying to take away his assistant. I think Tom has all the friends. I feel like everybody's on Tom's side.
I think Tom has more friends now than he ever did.
Yeah.
Well, half of them are bought and not paid for. But yes, I do.
So doesn't that mean free, Julia?
Yes. True in friends. In terms
of cast members, his friend was Schwartz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As much as they try to play up him and Sheena, I don't remember that ever being a thing.
When did he... Lala hates Sandoval.
Not anymore. She hates Ariana more.
People are really comparing... Lala right now, like current day Lala on her I Hate Ariana press tour that she's on, to Lisa Rinna. Remember when Lisa Rinna went on all those podcasts and were like, you just wait for the real Kathy Hilton. So People are wondering if this is kind of the end of Lala, especially because Faith just filed a new lawsuit where she names Lala, and Lala I guess at one point pulled like a butter knife on Faith, and it was filmed but not aired. And Stassi has spoken about it on her podcast, and so does Kristen.
Interesting. I mean, and Candace pulled out a butter knife on Ashley, and now Candace is gone. Maybe butter knife karma's coming back to get all these Bravo people.
It's like 4 years later. Yeah. Actually, no, this is 4 years later.
Well, being terrible to Faith, I mean, she'll be able to transition smoothly to, like, the Valley.
Yeah.
Stassi said on a podcast that the Valley was a concept that it was called, like, Vanderpump Grows Up or something, and it was going to transition all of these people before they got fired onto their own show, but then it was dead in the water because they all got fired.
That's interesting. Now,
So that's how the Valley came. It has been in the works for years. They just had to give Kristen and Jack some time
to handle their cancellation,
and then immediately gets brought up episode 3.
But before we get into the Valley, though, can I say, this is nothing to be another hot take.
Okay, I'm ready.
From what I see about like Vanderpump discourse online and how like mad everyone is at everyone, it just feeds into my whole thing about like, do you want to watch a show about Ariana and Katie opening a sandwich shop?
People are saying yes because...
What do you want to
because
watch?
Because morally they should say yes. But the answer is no.
They know...
I have a better question for you. Do you want to watch a show about Lala doing a water tasting with a guy from TikTok?
That I enjoy.
I loved the water tasting. I thought it was going to be a thing of sophistication. I thought this water was going to be raised by monks in the Himalayas. But no, instead he compared water to dinosaur piss, cum water, and milk water. I thought it was going to be super like gross barf LA. It was not that.
Yeah. And everyone was like, this sucks.
And then James complained that he had to buy the pizza.
We watched a spoof is what we watched. It was hilarious. I loved it.
Brock is getting worse and worse.
Oh, I was going to ask you all who the MVP of the season was.
I mean,
mine is Brock.
He's doing...
Brock is...
Getting... Somebody called him... I think it was Nick Vial called him a paycheck husband or a payroll husband. And he's like, sounds great to have to get my check.
I agree in that he is doing the work. He is making people accountable for certain things. I mean, without him, we wouldn't have the beautiful Sheena follows everyone storyline.
He's doing a lot of... talking shit for a man who has a domestic violence charge against him and doesn't pay child support.
I was going to bring that up. Do you think it's because that is so out in the open already that he's like, well, fuck it.
What
like,
are we going to do? Bring it up again? Yes, this is Bravo.
Yeah. In the same funny way that, and maybe this could be the transition, Kristen brings up someone calling someone else a racist.
That was the biggest, like, Kristen, no.
Right, the valley?
Yes. Okay, we have so much to talk about with the valley. I guess let's start with Kristen, because this was so complicated. And the more I thought about it, I thought, this is so hard to wrap my head around, but remarkably straightforward at the same time. So like Alex mentioned, Kristen brings up, accuses somebody else of being a racist, to which it's immediately turned around on her because she got very publicly fired for doing something super racist, like blatantly racist, to which she gets to go, how could this happen to me again?
I can't get canceled again. I know what it's like to be called a racist because it happened to me. Cue the music drop, the headlines.
The layers of this fight, though, were so good because
I don't know where to start.
I'm going to start with it first being a masterclass given by Kristen on how to be on a reality TV show, because she blindsided some of her friends who were like, it's fine, we're going to show up, this isn't real, it's all fakey fake.
Surprise, bitch.
Yeah.
There's fourth wall breaks everywhere because they're like, I can't believe she brought this up on camera. And it's like, no, yeah. Honey, what did you think this was going to be? So I love the masterclass she gave. So good.
Right. Are we in agreement that they said it and she called them out on it and now they're all scrambling?
100%. Yes,
but what they actually said, though, is actually really dark. And do I think Michelle said what she's?
Yes.
What,
I, they 1,000%.
Said she said yes. I do think she said that.
Don't say gay. It was a Florida law that was trying to get put through at the time. You know, we've had so many other terrible laws, it's kind of hard to keep up. But,
yeah, she said, don't say gay protects children.
Which is funny because that's an anti-gay trans thing. But we're talking about racism.
Yeah, but I think that's where the game of telephone comes in, because I think she said which is awful. And the fact that Zach is saying, like, she said this, but I know she's not homophobic, to say that is a homophobic thing to say. But she has time to learn. She hasn't gotten canceled yet because Kristen threw herself in front of the bus.
I think the telephone game was actually nastier. I feel like they probably did get into, like, well, if she thinks this, maybe she thinks this. I feel like they did do a bit of that.
So she's homophobic and she's a Republican, because then she's also a racist.
Therefore. But I think that's funny that we are focusing on the hypothetical thing that she could have said and not the thing that actually came out of Michelle's mouth.
Which is arguably so much worse than what she's being accused of, because it's like hardcore, like, evidence, whereas just saying a racist Republican and there's nothing to back it up.
Well, that's why I think, like, maybe that's why we aren't focusing on the real thing. So we can have this big fake conversation about what you brought up on camera that wasn't real, rather than, oh no, she did say that.
And Kristen didn't hear that part in the game of telephone, though, right?
Janet's the only one, I think, who really knew the truth.
This turning into the Kristen Doty Express, it's the best thing that could have happened to Michelle.
Right.
Focusing on the racism that was or was not said is great, because she can say, I never said anything racist.
And we're not even focusing on that. We're focusing on, why was something said on television when we were all, like, pinky swearing we weren't going to bring it up? That is the actual issue that's being addressed on the show.
Do you know what's very interesting is that the editors are making us be Detective Doty, because we don't actually see this fight. We got a to be continued.
I have found that interesting.
And then
too.
We got flashbacks, which makes me think that they're going to, like, dial M for murder, slowly give us nuggets of the truth, and we're going to have to piece this together Columbo style.
You know what I thought? My thought was that they fucked up filming that section and, like, they used what they could. Because
there's, like, a boom in the
shop
for half of it, and they're like, we can't use that.
Or the sound was fucked or something.
That or, like...
That's a good point, Alex.
The argument got truly so out of control, because it is a lot of talking about what you can say and what you're not saying on camera, that maybe, like... They had to, like, stop filming at a certain point. They were able to get, like, a shot of Zach yelling in the kitchen.
There were too many Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravos.
So they jigsawed it together. So. That's a really good point. You know what? Yeah. But speaking of Britney, that's an interesting thing. That's how this started. Let's not forget. Kristen is mad that Alex is at guys' night. Brittany says, you always are starting stuff. Don't just blame it on Jax. Kristen says, what are you talking about? Brittany says, you call the shell races. Boom. And nobody is remembering it was actually Brittany who brought it up.
I had completely forgotten.
And nobody's remembering it because Kristen Doty rootin' tootin' on that bus just driving over people.
And it'll never be brought up again.
No,
except on the podcast, because Kristen Doty ended up crying about herself being fired from Vanderpump Rules.
That was Brittany. Julia said last episode, Brittany's showing her true colors.
Here we go.
Brittany is married to Jax. I guess we should have known.
She's trouble. We've known it. She also has her own, not to get too far into like the Brittany lore, but she's got her homophobic leanings as well.
Yeah, because that wasn't that like a big plot point that they were trying to get like a homophobic pastor to marry them on Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah, and like her family is pretty homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jax, though, is steering clear of this drama in one of the funniest things about this whole thing to me.
Okay.
How is Jax not in this episode?
No, Jax is in this episode, and he's in this episode in the best way, because he pulls up.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite scene, actually.
Wait, are we going to talk about Jax's Studio City Buca de Beppo room?
Yes.
Well, yeah, and his casting couch scene that Buca de Beppo.
And the golf cart that he, like, is he allowed to drive a golf cart on that road? It doesn't seem like a golf cart.
No, 100% not.
And there's so much space between those vehicles.
He's parking it, like, in front of a fire hydrant.
Okay, my favorite thing about the Jax Buca de Beppo room, which was, at first I was like, oh shit, did I get my info wrong? Is this not a Buca de Beppo room? Was I wrong? And then Jax tells us, I'm very lucky. I have not put a penny into this bar because I have other investors who put in all of their money. Now, if we were going to open a bar and you two put in all of your money and all of your time and I put in nothing, would you say I own a bar?
If it was called Elizabeth's, I feel like that's the deal they made. We can call Jax's.
So it's $1 every time someone says Jax.
Okay, so really fast, Jax has been doing watch parties, which, Alex, we are demanding that you go to, please.
I know. It looks amazing.
Jax sits there with a microphone and talks through Vanderpump Rules.
And he says, it's all fake. It's fake.
And then when the valley comes on, he gets up and yells, this is real. This is not scripted. I also hear that he takes mini breaks and runs outside across the street into the alley to come back. It sounds so funny.
Wait, does Brittany come with him? Or are they
no,
just
it's just
out?
Him.
Just him. He was like, in that video that me and Alyssa watched, it's him being like, Vanderpump seasons 1 through 6, that's good. Everything else, it's a wash. It's a wash.
Meanwhile, it's like the most popular show in America.
He's with a microphone. Any thought that comes into his head, he's saying, and he's also live tweeting it. So he's texting, says something into the mic. It sounds amazing. Alex, please research.
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite thing about this episode, though, was like all through Tom and Schwartz Sandy's, we had to deal with the Toms like showing up being like different wallpaper, different velvet on this cushion. Go.
Talking about the flower wall.
Jax comes in, goes, I really thought that flower wall would pop more.
It's fine.
The actual owner of the bar is like, no, it's perfect how it is. And then Jax is like, no, you're so right. He had one thing to say. He got.
And then he's like, well, that's Brittany's flower wall.
Yeah, what does that mean? I want Brittany to feel involved, so she's going to be in charge of the flower wall, the already done flower wall.
But to see him fall in love instantly with every woman that walks.
Oh my gosh. So the woman with a beautiful set of breasts, he looked at the ceiling the whole time they were interviewing her.
And then he couldn't remember if they hired her or not.
It's so good. I love this show. Because that's like, when I talk about how much I love early Vanderpump Rules, it's that stuff. It's how transparent Jax is about everything.
Not just to talk about Jax the whole time, but can I say that the really cool bartender who Jax was like very impressed by how cool she was, mm-hmm. made him a lemon drop.
Yeah. This isn't Schwartz and Sandy's, Julia. You're not getting
Her psychedelic lounge meets your greatest nightmare.
She didn't do like a manly whiskey drink for Jack. She made him a lemon drop.
Oh, yeah. I love that little montage they have of like Jack's being a bad bartender.
Yes.
But they left out one of my favorite things was he used to make drinks poorly. And then the people would be like, can you get him to like make this drink again? And then he would make it the exact same way. And then he'd be like, this is great. Because all those Vanderpump drinks, as we know, are bad.
They're bad.
So you probably can't tell the difference.
You know who has good drinks, though? Tom.
We didn't even talk on Jesse.
Jesse and Michelle. So Jesse and Michelle have a life coach, and I've never seen a couple that's in more need of a not life coach and a real licensed therapist than these two.
How many times has the life coach been divorced? I got like 4 divorces
on his third life coach. For sure.
Okay.
Are you also surprised that Jesse would even be into a life coach? That was kind of shocking to me.
I was, Alex, until he said, I went on a 4-day fast, no alcohol, and it was the only time she was nice to me. And all I could think is, yeah, because you probably had no energy to scream at her. So she was like, this is great.
Yeah.
He's deprived of nutrition. This is how I like him, subdued. Yeah, Jesse is scary, especially his screaming at the table, listen to Michelle, and then talks over Michelle.
Yeah.
I'm happy these two get divorced because nobody deserves to be in a home like that. But she pushes back more than I guess I thought she would. Her stop saying it's sophisticated. Also, question mark. When you're a real estate agent, can you just throw parties at other people's houses?
They definitely got permission to do this party.
That was weird. Also, they were like, it's a money-making opportunity. It was just your cast from the Valley.
I was very confused by the setup of that entire thing, too.
No, but it is because they're getting paid to be on the show.
Okay. But it also wasn't very sophisticated because it was like, what's that called? It was buffet-style dining.
Well, also, I also find it interesting, like, they hosted girls' night, and now they're hosting this. Did they, like, sign a contract where they have to host, like, 15 parties to get on the show?
In places that aren't in the Valley.
Yes.
Yeah. Aren't they the West Hollywood couple?
Yeah.
This is not a good place to don't say gay, because everybody's pretty gay, West Hollywood. All right. Are we ready for awards?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. My award is the Celebrities Are Just Like Us award, given to Kathy Hilton and her Sour Jelly Bellies a couple weeks ago. It was given to Kyle eating Sour Patch Kids till he throws up. And then this week, it was given to Katie Maloney, who said, God, I love bitchin' sauce, as do Julia and I.
Yes, we're just like celebrities.
All right, Alex, what's your award?
The You Look Like Paul Schrader award, which is an early award in this podcast. It's when Shep on Southern Charm said Whitney looked like the writer of the movie Taxi Driver, which was the most bizarre, like, specific movie reference. It's not as crazy this week, but it goes to Kyle for saying he was eating cherries listening to Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, what do you think that
film composer? Well, he was listening to, like, the Inception soundtrack while eating cherries.
Whoa.
Just so weird and specific.
All right, Julia, what's your award?
My award is How Do You Think Babies Are Made award. And this random award goes to Amanda, whose current plan is to move out of Kyle's home to have a baby. And as Paige did bring up,
she hates him. We don't even know,
Kyle, if you're the daddy.
I think, Elizabeth, I think you're right. I think they're done by next summer.
They're still together right now, though. They really are. They're going strong.
I didn't think they would ever break up. Like, I really thought they were going to be one of those weird couples that fucking hates each other but stays together. But now I'm like, unless they're hamming it up for TV. But I don't think they are. Amanda's not that good of an actress.
And Kyle, I think, really wants them to be a good couple on TV.
Yeah.
So I feel like he wouldn't play into that.
This might turn out to be a nothing burger because it is a preview and, like, you know how you never get the real lowdown. But when he says being married to you is so boring, I thought this is it.
The things they say to each other, I just couldn't do. I couldn't be around somebody who talks to me like that.
I know. It's so sad. I almost stopped rooting for them, but then I thought, nah, and I'm still in it.
Who else are you going to root for?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, who is there to root for on these shows? Katie and Ariana in their sandwich shop.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining me.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Anytime.
You can catch new episodes of the Don't Be All Like Uncool podcast every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Podbean. You can also follow us on Instagram at @likeuncoolpodcast. Remember to rate, review, subscribe, and mention it all.